Every country has a tax gap. Every country has a gap between what the fiscus would receive if everybody was honest about the tax that they were due to pay. And, you know, you're allowed to avoid tax, but you're allowed to evade tax. Every country has that gap. In South Africa, I'm told by the front page of the Business Day today, that tax gap is estimated between 50 billion rand and more than 100 billion rand annually, every year. When we got the budget in February of 2019, SARS told us that they were expecting, well, we were told in August at least, that SARS expected to earn 300 billion rand less than the figure they had put on the table in the budget in February. So, you know, closing the tax gap is even more important in that context. Judge Dennis Davis heads the Davis Tax Commission. And Dennis, good afternoon.
Afternoon, John.
You've made a couple of proposals. I mean, the one on which the media are focusing is the lifestyle audits for the wealthy. But there are other proposals as well as to what can and should be done to close the tax gap at least a little.
Yeah, I mean, I spoke about the lifestyle audit because it's been a thing of mine for some while. We have produced a series of reports on that, on high net worth individuals and on corporates, which we provided to the minister and a copy to the commission. I'm not really at liberty to talk about them until the minister releases them. But yes, the high net worth individuals is a sort of, if you wish, an illustration of the problem we face. And it's a large degree a product of the degradation of SARS over that lengthy period of the Moyani leadership, as it were, in which the kind of work that you'd be doing for serious lifestyle audits and dealing with high net worth individuals just doesn't happen. And it's low-hanging fruit. It really is. We've put up a lot of proposals in that regard. Take a simple one. I mean, you've got all these people driving around with very fancy motor cars, Ferraris, Lamborghinis, Porsches, you name it. The question is, with those kinds of motor cars, well, it's not that difficult to work out who's got them and then to correlate between that and what the taxable income is. And my guess is you'll find some extraordinary surprises.
Does that mean prior to the Moyani area, the estimated tax gap was considerably lower than what is currently estimated to be annually between 50 and 100 billion rand?
I think there's no question that there was always a tax gap. And I think there's always been a question of South Africans having secreted very significant sums of money overseas, etc., from the apartheid era onwards, which just continued. But there were, as it were, centers of complete excellence at SARS under the Pravin Gordhan era in particular. And undoubtedly, there was much tougher kind of auditing of all sorts of people than is the case now. And that capacity was lost over this particular period. And at the end of the day, if you like it, you know, I mean, if people like it or not, who really suffers? Poor people, because you can't get the money to do the kind of reconstruction work that's absolutely necessary to ensure that those people living on the margins actually get a better deal.
The will to conduct these lifestyle audits, Dennis, might now be present in SARS, is present in SARS under Edward Kiswetter, but yes, the ability to do it, the resources to do it, that...
We're working on that. Sorry to interrupt you. We're working on that. You know, firstly, you rightly have pointed out, there's a totally new breath of air which has literally percolated through the corridors of SARS once Kiswetter became the SARS commissioner. And, you know, there are many, many dedicated people in SARS. Obviously, we've got to capacitate to a far greater extent. But I have to tell you that in the work that we've done on our commission, working with people with SARS people, I mean, if you really want to see some illustration of how South Africa can and should work, in a sense, a commitment from people all over different backgrounds with one objective in mind, to make tax collection better, it's remarkable. We, on the other hand, have now started to reach out to the accountants, to the legal profession, to people retired or younger people we perhaps can second, to recapacitate SARS to some extent. So in other words, you'd have people dedicated to looking at what are the tax returns from people with very large properties, what are the tax returns from people with very large motor cars. These can be done once you've capacitated. And that's the plan for 2021.
Dennis, I know it'll be a thumb suck, but when Dennis Davis sucks his thumb in the tax field, it's a, you know, it's a more educated thumb suck than most. What's your sense of the amount of money that might be brought into the SARS net through these audits?
You know, when you start looking, John, at things like, you know, the customs fraud and the VAT frauds and stuff, and you start asking the SARS people, can you quantify this for us? I would have thought that, to be perfectly honest, that 50 and perhaps even north of 100 billion is truly the kind of figure we're talking about. And so if we're conservative and we can collect in, let's say, over the next year or so, 30 to 40 billion more, well, to take a simple proposition, that pays for everybody's vaccine. That's how we should start to look at this. So when these people, you know, essentially diddle SARS of huge sums of money, that's how we should think about it. That means less people get the essentials that they require. And it must be more than between 50 to 100, at least.
How sophisticated are the mechanisms that these people use to hide the income that they're not declaring to SARS?
They range from very sophisticated, with offshore trusts and offshore companies, you know, in which, you know, people claim, oh, well, this is, you know, our children control this, is complete rubbish. But it's sophisticated. It's the sort of stuff that I suspect the Zondo Commission is now looking at very carefully with regard to people like the Guptas, you know, who clearly used experts to funnel money out of the country to very crude systems. So it combines both. And that's why there is both low-hanging fruit, and then you're going to have to use some very sophisticated forensic skills in order to attract people at the higher end. But one thing about that, if I might, the world is now becoming a much, much smaller place. So all over the world, we've now got exchange of information agreements right across the tax authorities around the world. So those people listening to this program, you may think that they're never going to be caught because they've got trusts in Jersey or Guernsey or Mauritius or what have you. Well, they need to think again, because there are ways now of being able to extract information which can lead us down that audit trail.
Judge Dennis Davis, thanks very much for talking to us this afternoon.